leaving that situation was really empowering in a lot of ways, because first I was proud that I was even able to put everything that was being thrown at me in perspective and that I was in a position to choose. Most people don't really have that kind of privilege, and most people only dream of like that kind of freedom, and they end up staying at a job or an industry despite that mistreatment or despite some of the health concerns without the ability to put themselves or their family first. And so for me, quitting was the first time I had come to truly appreciate the freedom that I'd already earned at that point in my life.
Welcome to the Rich and Regular podcast presented by Success, where we explore life at the intersection of money. I'm Kirsten.
And I'm Julian. Today, we're talking about employee burnout.
Yes.
And rage quitting.
Angry.
Yeah.
Let's get mad. Let's break some stuff.
Yeah, this is a really important topic. It's a really timely topic, too. I think the first time I'd ever heard the term rage quitting was when I quit my job in you introduced it to me, the term rage quitting. And I was like, I couldn't even really identify with that. But up until then, I just thought of it as like abrupt, but I didn't realize there was a term coined for the phrase. And we haven't shared much about that story, and we won't get into it in depth today. But in essence, something happened at work with me, and it was a straw that broke the camel's back. Like I had just had enough. I came home and I said, I'm quitting tomorrow. And that was it. After 10 years at that company, it came to a pretty bitter and abrupt end. But the term itself is described as follows. I found this really interesting. Rage quitting: to angrily abandon an activity or pursuit that has become frustrating, especially the playing of a video game. Now, after reading that, I think I don't align with that label even more now than I did the first time that I heard it. But I'm curious, what do you remember about that experience? Like, did you think I was overreacting?
No, I mean, yeah, the term definitely comes from the gaming community. It's what they created as the description for when a player just like quits the game abruptly and throws down their stuff.
Throws the remote at the TV. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember you being that angry, and I honestly don't remember you coming home. I actually remember you texting me and asking me to come downstairs because we worked in the same building, and I think you had already had your mind made up by the time you told me what was happening. Like, I didn't think you were overreacting. I was more scared or anxious about what could be so bad. Like, what did I miss?
Yeah.
We had talked about the challenges that you were going through with new management, but I just assumed that it kind of fell into the realm of like normal, my job sucks kind of thing.
Yeah.
I just totally underestimated the impact of all those little interactions and, you know, the effect that they were having on you.
Yeah.
Or you might have just been giving me the diluted version, because in fairness, I had a lot going on myself, you know, with a new baby at home and my own job that came with pressures. So I didn't think you were overreacting, but I was just more like, what did I miss? Have I been like that much in a baby fog that I have not realized that it was this taxing on you?
Yeah, it was getting really, really bad. And I apologize for the listeners out there. We're obviously not going to share all of the details. And it was nothing crazy. I feel like I should give like a disclaimer. I mean, it was bad, but like, you know, there was no violence or anything crazy that might have threatened legal action. But it was just a lot of unnecessary pressure and, dare I say, like bullying types and styles of behaviors that really just made it a really uncomfortable work environment. And to be fair to everyone that was involved, like, it was a really tough time at the company. And so if you've ever gone through like a huge reorganization and then like multiple reorganizations, at some point people are really just sort of out for themselves, and oftentimes they try to throw other people under the bus. And I unfortunately got caught up in all of that. And so I just reached a point, I was already looking for another job at the time. And then I said, you know what, let's just go ahead and leave the situation as it is so that we can reprioritize health and wellness and some of the other things that were important to us at the time.
Yeah. So I'm super glad that we're talking about this. We obviously don't want to encourage, you know, reckless behavior. So we did have a couple of things, you know, lined up before you just left.
Yeah. You know, I'll also say this, like, leaving that situation was really empowering in a lot of ways, because first I was proud that I was even able to put everything that was being thrown at me in perspective and that I was in a position to choose. Most people don't really have that kind of privilege. And most people only dream of like that kind of freedom, and they end up staying at a job or an industry despite that mistreatment or despite some of the health concerns without the ability to put themselves or their family first. And so for me, quitting was the first time I had come to truly appreciate the freedom that I'd already earned at that point in my life. And again, just to put that in timeline perspective, this was about 4 years ago. But to your point, like, we don't want to encourage reckless behavior. So I think it's fair to sort of put all of that stuff into context, and to also say that at the time when I was willing, or when I walked away, we were completely debt-free. We had no mortgage. Our son was about a year old, and we'd already saved up enough money for a healthy retirement. And so we were coasting, hence the term. And I enjoyed the work, but the purpose of that job was really just to pad our taxable brokerage account for a few more years before quitting to pursue other things. And so obviously, the cards weren't stacked in our favor. I don't know that I would have felt so confident to make that decision, and certainly so quickly. And so I just want to make sure, you know, we're recommending that people sort of put all of this in perspective, but I don't want to recommend people walking away from a well-paying job, or any job really for that matter, unless they know that they can afford to lose that income.
Yeah. I want to get back to burnout a little bit, because I've been following the story arc of, you know, what we called essential workers at the beginning of this thing. And in my book, that includes parents right now, because it's just a lot for us with everything going on. But all of the recent articles about these essential workers have been about burnout. And I'll link a few in the show notes, but The Guardian just wrote an article about parental burnout and how it's driving us all to the brink. And I've read articles about daycare providers being short-staffed because it's hard to replace staff that's burnt out and leaves.
Yeah.
NPR did a great article about healthcare workers burnout and patient outcomes and how it's really difficult to link the two, the effect that the two are having on each other. And then I even read an article about burnout for COVID journalists and how writing and reporting about the topic for 2 years in a row is like literally making them sick.
Yeah.
So the point is, burnout is hitting pockets of our population differently. And if you don't get ahead of it, it can absolutely cause you to make short-term decisions, especially financially, that have lasting effects.
I can say without question that I was also suffering from burnout during that period. And it was largely rooted in, as I said, that working sort of hostile environment, having a bad boss and having grossly unrealistic expectations placed on me, in addition to trying to maintain like some semblance of self-care and wellness and be a supportive husband, a father and a son, and also like managing our real estate portfolio at the time.
That was a terrible tenant.
We had a bad tenant. Like, it was just a lot of things going on. It was one of the toughest times in my life. And it wasn't until I let it all go that I realized how exhausted I was. And I remember you sort of being kind of amazed at how exhausted I was. And I mean, it was just sort of wearing it. Like, I didn't really know how to hide it. But it was really leading to some unhealthy habits. And, you know, if I'm being honest, like, some of the symptoms were like irritability. I would have this constant eye twitch, sleeplessness, weight gain, and alcohol abuse. Like, it was tough trying to keep it all together. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. But, you know, they've normalized those behaviors.
They just move the bar. It's like, I used to have 2 drinks a night, and now it's more like 3.5.
Absolutely. And they just kind of say, but it was a tough day.
Right.
And it was like, well, after, what about a tough season?
Right.
Or a tough year? Like, how do we sort of, you know, figure out other ways to cope with this? There's a book entitled Dying for a Paycheck, which I cannot recommend enough to some of our readers. It's by Dr. Jeffrey Pfeffer. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. It's spelled P-F-E-F-F-E-R. And I think it offers a phenomenal overview of how workplace culture and just workplace environments have had an impact on general health in our country. Let me say that again. There's a book entitled Dying for a Paycheck by Dr. Jeffrey Pfeffer. The last name, I believe you spell it, P-F-E-F-F-E-R. I think it's an absolutely phenomenal book, and it gives you a really great overview of how workplace culture has had an impact on general health. I highly, highly recommend this for our readers so they can gain a wider perspective of how pervasive this particular issue is. It's very easy and convenient to assume that it's just me, or it's just my team. team, or it's just my organization, or it's just my company.
I'm not doing enough.
Maybe I'm not doing enough, or I need to sort of step it up. This book suggests otherwise.
Yes.
It's not industry or company or even sort of, you know, organizational level driven. It's happening at all levels, all industries. This is a much larger phenomenon that you probably think.
Yeah, pervasive is absolutely the right word. We've talked about the Great Resignation on previous podcasts, and the Great Resignation, for those of you who are unfamiliar with the term, is the word that they're using to describe this moment that we're in, where more people are voluntarily quitting their jobs than ever before in history. But there was a study done recently. One of the benefits of the Great Resignation is that they do all these workplace studies, and we're learning more from employees that we haven't heard from in the past. But there was a study done recently that surveyed thousands of employees across like 15 different industries. 48% of employees have thought about changing careers in the past 12 months, and a staggering 63% of those with a bad manager are thinking of leaving in the next year.
Wow.
So the seeds are already planted for the majority of Americans if you take this study and extrapolate it and, you know, assume that it's a cut of how most people are thinking. But that's actually not what was most interesting to me from the study. The thing that I found most interesting was one of the findings that suggests that burnout is actually contagious.
Wow.
Right? So the study asked employees whether their manager seems burned out on the job. And of those with a burned out manager, 73% said that many of their team members also seemed burned out, versus those without a burned out manager said only 22% of team members also felt like they were burned out. So it kind of suggests that it's up to leaders to be more sensitive to burnout and set a positive example by taking time for themselves and, you know, making sure that they advocate for self-care so that it can be pushed down to the team.
Ooh, I'm telling you, like this, that makes perfect sense to me. You know, again, as I'm thinking back to not even just my experience in corporate America, but even my experience as an entrepreneur, if you're leading our business, right? If you come into that situation burned out, that sets the standard for whoever else you're working with, whether it be a contractor, your partner, any other family business. This is what your kids are seeing. This is what becomes normal behavior. Mommy and daddy are always working, and this is sort of natural. This is what I need to be or embody if this is, you know, what I want to accomplish as well. I'm so happy to hear this because it feels like a lot of this, and I'm thinking specifically of the Great Resignation and going back to the word empowered, but it to me, it feels like people are finally pushing back a little bit and saying, you know what, the money's great, these jobs are great, these opportunities are great, but it's not more important than my health or my marriage or my family or any of these other things. In our book, even, we spend a little bit of time talking about wage stagnation and how it plays a role in the stress that many people are feeling in their wallets. Now that, in addition to the rising cost of consumer goods, education, housing, et cetera, all of those things are contributing factors to why so many well-paid people are so unfulfilled at their jobs. Now you add on the chance that they may contract or spread a disease because of the moment that we're in.
Right.
And just the idea that going back to work could be potentially fatal, you know, you can understand why so many people are finding alternative ways to earn money these days. You got to ask yourself at some point, you know, is it even worth it? So we've spoken about rage quitting. We've dug into burnout a little bit and the impact that it's having on people. Let's get into the math and the numbers or the money sort of implications of this. What are the financial implications of quitting?
I mean, I think the most obvious one is loss of income, which can be really scary given what we know about the state of most American savings accounts. But there's a whole list of other considerations that I want to get into when we get back from the break. All right, so we're back. Let's go down the list. First, there's healthcare, which for the majority of Americans is in some way tied to traditional employment. Then there's deciding what to do with your 401k. There's unused vacation and personal time. You know, some companies pay it out, but some don't. There's, you know, if you received any signing or retention or relocation bonuses, you may have to forfeit that and pay it back. There's the loss of any like ancillary benefits that your job may have provided you, whether that's travel, meal subsidies, gym, daycare, all that stuff that comes as employee benefits. And then there's equipment, you know, assuming that you use your work laptop or phone for other things. You know, some people connect to their work phone, to their personal phone. You may need to purchase another one on your own. And these are now expenses that you have to take on.
Man, I remember those days.
Yeah.
My laptop, your laptop.
Oh, my God. We've had hundreds of laptops.
You know, it was so clunky, but yes. Like that's so real.
Yeah.
That is a lot. And it really crystallizes the term golden handcuffs because mm-hmm. so much of your day-to-day life and your needs and identity are sort of tied to these roles. And then this point, it's like tied to like benefits and, you know, just even tangible things that you use every single day.
Right.
And explains why so many people stay at their jobs, even if they don't enjoy it, because so much of their life is intertwined with it, especially if it plays well. I'm sorry, if it pays well. So let's talk a little bit more about healthcare. So what are the key things you think people should think about before quitting their job with respect to healthcare? You are our resident expert on this.
So. I'm going to try not to go into like a detailed rant about this, but if you're at risk for losing you or your family's healthcare, you absolutely need some sort of backup plan. The most affordable option is going to be to get on another employer subsidized plan, which means getting another job. But typically, if you don't have another job lined up or you aren't married or you're not young enough to be somebody's dependent, there's still going to be a gap between the loss of coverage and when you can get on another plan. And this is one of the thorniest topics related to quitting because it's so risky to go without insurance.
Especially now.
Especially now. Yeah, yeah. For sure. So you may have the option to continue your existing coverage from your former employer through COBRA health insurance. But if you do this, just keep in mind that your employer will no longer be subsidizing the costs. So in our case, I used to pay $100 a month for insurance for our family of three. Well, when I left and continued the same plan through COBRA, the rate almost 10x'd. Yep. We now pay about $1,100 a month until October when we switch it up. You can also buy health insurance. If COBRA is not an option, you can also buy health insurance through the ACA Healthcare Exchange, also sometimes called Obamacare, but it's the American Care Act Healthcare Exchange. Or you can opt for short-term insurance policies through companies like Pivot Health, which offer like kind of minimal fill-in-the-gap policies.
Yeah, so like if you're policy ends, let's say, on October 1st, but
yes.
Your new one doesn't start until December 15th. You can buy something
correct.
Like a short-term
yes.
fill in the gap.
Yeah, and you can even go shorter than that if you just need a three-week coverage.
Okay.
It's not going to cover all things. Like,
but it's better than nothing.
But it's better than just being out here exposed.
Yeah.
Another option is to get familiar with your local MinuteClinic, which is a program offered through CVS. And I picked this one because there are CVSs all across the country. So even if you're in the ruralest of Midwestern towns, there's probably a CVS near you. And whether you have insurance or not, you can get care through MinuteClinic. So the point is, there are more economical options for people who are just looking for basic care or to bridge the gap, but they're not the same as insurance.
Yeah.
So, you know, keep that in mind. And even beyond health insurance, which is really just bill insurance, you need to think about your health care, your current health care. So your insurance ends the day that you leave or shortly thereafter. So if you're on like a monthly prescription, you're probably going to want to head to the pharmacy or call your doctor for an emergency refill immediately. Like as soon as you walk out that door, you want to call your doctor as the next phone call, maybe after your family, but
yeah.
to make sure that when you get your refill that you get the insured price and not that retail price, which is typically pretty outrageous.
Yeah. Yeah. Healthcare was always one of those things. And even when we talk to other people, like that's the very first thing.
Oh, yeah.
That
what do
comes
y'all do
up
about
is, well, what do you do about healthcare or how do you cover that? Because, you know, again, most people are just completely unfamiliar with what that looks like
mm-hmm.
once you step away from being an employee. So, all right, so that's healthcare. We're going to move on to the next one, which is what to do with your 401k, assuming you have one. So first, you can choose to leave it with your employer. That is an option. Your funds will continue to grow in accordance to your investment strategy, and the firm managing it will treat it no differently than if you were still an employee. So it's not like they deprioritize, let's say, you know, any of the sort of counsel that they provide you because you're sort of labeled with an asterisk that you don't work here anymore. It's not the actual company so much. It's the 401k service provider that's actually managing the funds.
But I will say, if you leave it with the existing company, you do lose some of the communication that they give to current employees.
Yep.
So my company changed providers while I left. I left my 401k with my company and they changed providers, which completely disrupted the investment options that I originally picked. So my money was just kind of opted into this new strategy. Yep. And, you know, once I found out, I pulled it out and put it somewhere where I wanted it. But It's not like your decisions just kind of sit there. They will opt you into new strategies if they want to.
Yeah, let's just say for the record, we don't recommend doing that.
Right.
For anyone.
Yes.
Okay. So with that said, you do have the option of transferring that 401k. So you quit your job, you're likely going to get some type of notification from your 401k service provider. They're going to say, or you may not, right? But you have that option to go in there and request to have those funds transferred to another account that you have direct control over. And your best options here are pretty much a traditional or a Roth IRA. And there's an entire process here that we're going to try to simplify. But basically, they're going to either cut a check or conduct a direct transfer. Now, this would be considered a rollover contribution. So you don't pay any taxes on making the withdrawal, but there will likely be some fees associated with closing and potentially opening the accounts. There are usually no fees, but there might be some fees depending on who your providers are. And in general, if you put the funds into a traditional IRA, the money can't be withdrawn until you've hit your official retirement age, which as of today is 59 and a half years old. However, if you deposit that money into a Roth IRA, you pay taxes on the amount that you're rolling over, but you'll have the benefits that come with a Roth IRA, which is primarily that the growth on those money or on that rollover contribution grows tax-free since you technically are paying taxes on it
right. Throughout
that rollover process. Yep. Now, the other option is to completely cash out the 401k. So you left your job, you've got, I'm just making it up, $100,000, maybe mm-hmm. $50,000. You could just say, give me all my money, mm-hmm. Assuming you're 100% vested. If you're not, going back to what Kirsten was mentioning before, these are all of the different types of levers that companies can say, oh, well, yes, this is what it said you had in the balance on paper, but there's also this policy that you're not vested yet because right. You haven't been there long enough. So we're going to go ahead and take this money back,
right. And
here's what's actually left for you. But assuming you're 100% vested, you can essentially cash it out. You could do that. You could say, forget this company, forget work altogether. I'm going to travel around the world. And in that case, they'll just cut you a check. But know that you will have to pay taxes on that income just as you would if you'd earned it through a regular paycheck.
Yes, plus a penalty.
Plus a penalty.
Assuming you're not 59 and a half.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So moving on to the list, as far as unused vacation and personal time, like I said earlier, some companies pay it out, but some don't. My dad actually just retired. Yay to him. Congrats, Dad. But when he put in his notice, he actually had to add in a 3-week vacation because his company policy had changed recently and they no longer pay out vacation time. So, you know, these are weird times. Mm-hmm. Companies that may have used to do this don't do it anymore because it for cost saving reasons.
Well, I think people, they're responding to this wave.
Yes.
This, you know,
yeah, they're trying to give you a stick.
They didn't have in the budget to allocate for everyone or let's say 60% of everyone sort of cashing out. And so
right. They're
reevaluating policies
right. For
the benefit of the company.
So recommendation here, instead of losing all that money, which is yours, by the way, you accrued it, you earned it, it's part of your total compensation. My dad actually built it into his exit plan, and I would recommend the same for you. So if you're feeling burnt out, consider, you know, rage vacationing instead of rage quitting. Use up some of that time that you haven't taken first and then leave to
That's
make sure that you're getting. Yeah, you did. You did the same thing.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, you can. I don't need the money.
Yeah.
But I'm leaving. I'm going on the West Coast. And when I come back, my next day will be shortly after I land.
Yeah. And along that same vein, I can't, you know, stress this enough because it surprises people. You want to double and triple check the company policy for any signing, retention, relocation, bonuses that you may have received. If you leave prior to the agreed time, you may have to forfeit and pay it all back. And the same is true with 401k loans. I think in 2019, about 13% of Americans had 401k loans. I'm positive that number has gone up given all the volatility since you know, the pandemic started. But if you've taken out a 401k loan and you've been paying it back via your paycheck, if you quit before you've paid back the balance, you may get a tax bill. So again, something to keep in mind about where your paycheck is currently allocated and what programs you've participated in.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot to consider here. All right, so we've spoken a little bit about healthcare, 401ks, and unused vacation or personal time. I think a key theme here is that leaving your job without a backup plan, like, really increases the risk that you'll take on some debt, or whether it's medical or tax debt, just sort of something to help make up for the gap in income, which means your credit might be affected. Yes. And, you know, it just has all of these kind of trickle down effects.
So yeah, we know firsthand about how, one, the absence of a recurring paycheck and a hit on credit, because you now need to take on some debt to cover in these gaps, will affect your ability to get better rates in the market and do some of the longer term things that you want to do, whether it's buying a house or refinancing your car, or, you know, just anything that requires a credit check, getting an apartment.
Yeah.
All of these things matter.
All right. What else is on this list?
So last but not least is the loss of, like, the kind of ancillary soft benefits like travel, meal, gym, daycare, and the equipment part. So I'll say, if there's any parts of your lifestyle that your employer is subsidizing, you should definitely build an awareness of those now. Like, make sure that you know exactly what your employer is contributing to your lifestyle. You know, in our course, we talk about the benefits of creating this doomsday budget, which is basically a plan for what you would do if your income drops significantly, say 50% or more. And those items that your employer is currently paid for need to be on there. Like, you need to have a plan for what you're going to do if you have to pay for your cell phone bill, or daycare is no longer subsidized, or, you know, if you work somewhere where they provide free dinner and you're eating that four nights a week, you're going to have to see an increase in grocery bill.
Lunches.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Equipment, however, isn't as hard to come by. I think the key for replacing equipment is to look for pre-owned, at least at first. If you're in a buy nothing group, which, you know, you can find on Facebook, and they're local, sometimes you can come up on older technology that might be broken and you might just have to pay for the cost of repairs. Or if you go on sites like OfferUp, eBay, Facebook Marketplace, they always have some sort of pre-owned phone or computer selection. Personally, I would obviously prioritize replacing equipment, because typically a phone and or a computer is, you know, pretty critical for finding a new job or even generating income these days.
Yeah. That's really, really cool. All right. I think that pretty much covers the list. We've spoken about healthcare, 401ks, vacation time,
credit scores,
equipment, retention bonuses, and signing bonuses, and all of those things. Did we forget anything?
I'm sure we did. I mean, there's a there's a lot of considerations that are tied to employment, which is what makes the decision so hard to leave.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, why don't we move on to some final thoughts?
Yeah. So this one was kind of a bummer episode for me, because I'm always the cheerleader and I never want to discourage people from leaving a toxic or abusive situation, you know, but it's so important that you prepare while you can. So, like the survey that I talked about earlier, if 48% of employees are thinking about quitting, then they also have time to think about what happens once they walk out that door. And our, you know, not to do a shameless plug here, but our Boost Your Income for Life course and the Success Achievers All Access community covers a lot of the ways that you can start to build an income portfolio that makes you less reliant on an employer as your single source of income. Even if you don't take the advice from us, I highly, highly suggest that you start somewhere on, you know, how to diversify your income so that you aren't trapped by the golden handcuffs.
Yeah, it is kind of a bummer episode. But I do think that over the last year, maybe 18 months, a lot of people, because they've seen so much disruption and so much change and loss in some cases, I think a lot of people are starting to realize that this is much more of a reality than a, you know, this might happen to me sometime in the future. I think people are sort of realizing the true nature.
I might have to do this.
I might have to really, you know, imagine a life where I no longer work for this company, right? And so those are just unfortunately the times that we're in. And that's why we're definitely wanting to make sure that we're covering this topic of conversation. My final thoughts are that This is one of those topics that really highlight how important managing your money is. When most people think about burnout or rage quitting, aside from gamers, they're thinking of finding a space or a place where they can be a better or healthier version of themselves. And so they may want to take a vacation or practice self-care and do any of the things that people normally do to sort of heal. But honestly, I think being on solid financial ground in many ways is like a form of preventative care.
Yes.
It's very comforting to know that you can walk away from a threatening, a dangerous, or just a stressful situation. So if there's ever been a reason for you to prioritize getting your finances in order, it's so that you can take better care of yourself and your family.
Yeah, I love that. Well, thank you for listening to another episode of the Rich and Regular podcast presented by Success. If you are in the mood to do something impulsive, don't rage review, rave review. I know this was not my best work, guys.
Point is, insert a symbol.
If you like what you heard today, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will see you next week.